There is that which is able to create a supply for your every need, the Word of God, and the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who helps us represent God's fullness on earth. In true intimacy, partnership, and fellowship with Him. Be a part of this and join us as the servant of God, Apostle Joshua Stellman, brings to you the Word of God with simplicity and power.
Father, tonight we pray that you will help us with your word. Let us have a comprehension of your truth. The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I pray that you open the eyes of our understanding, O God. Let there be a manifestation of the Spirit of revelation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We've been considering a series on the full gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Revelation 21, the full gospel. It's been a powerful series. Please, I want you, just verse 16, one verse, and then we'll get into the business of the night. 16. If you are there, say amen. "And the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length, and the breadth, and the height of it are equal." Hallelujah. We began to consider a series on the full gospel, attempting to bring a balance, hallelujah, to the major teachings and the doctrines that available in the church. The Bible says that the angel told John, he said, "Come and I will show you the Lamb's wife." He said, "He took me to that great city," and he began to describe to us that the dimension of that city, the length was equal with the breadth, it was equal to the depth. In other words, there was no dimension of that bride that was out of proportion. Hallelujah. And so we examine the fact that there have been several revelations and several teachings as revealed in the body of Christ. And we took the Nigerian church as a case study. How that the problem with the revelations in the Nigerian church are threefold. Number one is that there is an exaggeration of certain truths above others. Hallelujah. Problem number two, there is an under emphasis of certain truths that should be a lot more amplified than they have been. Number three is that the priorities of God have been misplaced. Hallelujah. And we said that there are seven major doctrines that makes up the central teachings of the Nigerian church. Number one is the gospel of grace, or what we know as the grace message. Number two, the word of faith. Hallelujah. I hope you still remember. What's number three? Number three, the gospel of holiness. Hallelujah. Number four? What? Demonology. Satan, demons, and the concept of deliverance. Number five, the gospel of prosperity. Number six, the gospel of power and the charismatic move of the Spirit. Seven, the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And we've been able to examine the other gospels, stating the true perspectives from which the Bible views these things. We try to bring these various teachings to examine them one by one. Hallelujah. And we, by the light of God's word, not an opinion of a man, show where there have been certain emphases and then teach what should be taught. How many of you have been blessed so far? I've been blessed again and again. It's a very, very mature teaching for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight's teaching is very central, is very powerful. Hallelujah. And this is part 3 now. We had part 1, part 2. This is part 3. And under part 3, we are going to be considering the principles of wealth and prosperity. We'll be examining the gospel of prosperity. Please, I'd like you to listen and give ear to this. I prayed and I cried before God. I said, Lord, I pray that God's people will not only be hearers. Hallelujah. Oftentimes, it's not just what you hear that changes you, but what you attend to. The Bible says, attend unto my word. It didn't say hear it. Attend. Give it your rapt attention. Hallelujah. I believe somebody's life will change tonight forever. I truly, truly believe it. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 13. Open your eyes. Open your ears. And then you'll understand that the Lord is here. Open your eyes. Please open your ears. So you will understand that the Lord is here. Open your eyes. Open your ears. And then you'll understand that the Lord is here. Open your eyes. Please open your ears. Then you understand that the Lord is here. 2 Corinthians 13. Please make sure you write every scripture. 2 Corinthians 13. I found this scripture some years ago and it shook me to my foundation. Verse 8. If you are there, please let's read it. 1, 2, read. For we can do nothing against the truth. But for the truth. What a dangerous statement. He said, for we can do nothing against the truth. That means you can argue it. Hallelujah. You can explain it away. You can trivialize it. But the truth remains truth. Hallelujah. Paul speaking said, we can do nothing. That's why when the truth died and they buried the truth, they paid people to lie that the truth did not resurrect. The truth found its way out. Are you listening to me? The Bible says we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. There are certain truths in scripture. Please listen very carefully. There are certain truths in scripture that are timeless. They have been there before our forefathers were born. They will be there till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Timeless truth. For instance, the biblical pathway to be born again is to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Correct? There will never come a principle that there is a way of laying hands upon people that gets them born again. No. Hallelujah. So no matter what kind of teaching we bring up in church, it remains that the biblical way to lead people to Christ is that they confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ and they mean it. Truth does not change. Philosophies can change. Listen to me carefully. Ideologies can change. Opinions can change. According to society, levels of exposure, education, and you name it. But the truth of God's word cannot change. The Bible says, there is nothing that can be done against the truth, but for the truth. Say amen. Do you believe that? And so, a believer is A wise believer, if he aligns himself with the truth, is that correct? Because whether or not, for instance, if you say Jesus is not Lord, it doesn't take him away from his throne, does it? There are myriads of angels calling him Lord, day after day, night after night. If Satan deceives certain people and make himself look mighty, does that mean Satan is mighty? For there is nothing that can be done against the truth, but for the truth. Never forget this for the rest of your life. I found this in 2006 and it changed my life. Every time I saw truth, I respected it, because it's already, you are already on the path of defeat and failure if you are fighting against the truth. He said, for there is nothing that can be done against the truth. Hallelujah. So we are going to be considering some truths, timeless truths, and we'll be putting a balance to the teaching principles of wealth and prosperity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The first thing I need you to know is that God's prosperity plan is available for everybody. Please write it. See, in my journey in the Word and the study of God's principles, I found some things that have made me respect God and fear Him. We'll be examining some of these scriptures. The first is Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts 10 verse 34. Oh, you will be blessed tonight. You will be mightily blessed tonight. Acts 10, 34. This was in the house of Cornelius. They had neglected the Gentiles because they thought that they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and so they would not participate in the redemption. Now they were surprised when Peter began to speak to the Gentile believers. Verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is what? No respecter of persons. Is that in your Bible? God is what? No respecter of persons. 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Say after me, God is no respecter of persons. That means there is no excuse whatsoever. This is truth. Peter said, of a truth. And I've shown you that the Bible says there is nothing you can do against the truth, but for the truth. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But that in every nation, America, Britain, are you listening to me? That means there is no excuse. Whether geographical location, whatever it is irrelevant. I'm telling you. Of a truth, in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted by him. Next scripture, Romans 10 verse 12. Shipa kapora supatavalia. Romans 10. Romans 10 verse 12. Are you there? One to read. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He said there is neither who. That means there is no third world nation. There is no first world nation. Those things are just economic jargons, let me tell you. In the eyes of God, he said there is neither Jew nor Greek, but God is rich unto every man. Tonight you'll be hearing many truths that will shock you and abuse many things that you have believed and held on to. Then we'll balance the ones that need to balance. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Listen to me. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord in UK, in America, in Israel, in Iraq, in Iran, God has promised that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that correct? We have people born again in Iraq. We have people born again in Kuwait. We have people born again in South Africa. We have people born again in Zimbabwe. In other words, God is rich unto all men. Are you listening to me? The truth of God is a symbol of His justice and His fairness to all men. And the Bible says righteousness and justice are the foundations of His throne. Praise the Lord. So the prosperity package of God is available unto everybody. But listen, it is available to everybody, but it's not accessible to everybody. Not everybody will walk in it. It's only accessible to those who are careful enough to diligently find out God's program. Not Nigeria's program. Not America's program. Not the 21st century program. Thank God for all of the education and the packages and all of this. But let me tell you the truth. The word of God stands forever. And there is nothing that can be done against the truth, but for the truth. Are you getting blessed tonight? Praise God. What is prosperity? I want to shock you tonight. Let me tell you what prosperity is not. Having your needs met is not prosperity. It's called welfare. Are you listening to me? Having your needs met is not what the Bible calls prosperity. We are beginning to balance the gospel of prosperity now. Because for many believers, the circumference of our concept of prosperity is that I come to a point where I have a job or I have whatever and I have enough for myself, my wife, and my children. Meeting the ability to meet your need is not called prosperity. It's called welfare. You are faring well if your needs are met. You can afford the fees of your children you have. You are not lacking something to eat. The biblical definition of prosperity is given in Scripture. Genesis 12. Don't open there. Genesis 12, verse 2. When you read Genesis 12, verse 1 and 2, God called Abraham out. And He said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. He said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, prosperity is not having money to feed yourself, to feed your family, give your mother some, give your father some. That's not prosperity. That's welfare. Many prosperity preachers are still in the realm of welfare. Are you listening to me? And what many believers call the prosperity package of God is just welfare. They have not even entered what the Bible defines as prosperity. Prosperity is being so blessed, that you become a blessing to others. You must, in God's prosperity package, you must become a blessing to others by virtue of what God has done in your life. I can tell you the truth, there are many rich people, but there are no prosperous people. Very few prosperous people, according to God's standards. So prosperity is being blessed to be a blessing. Being blessed to be a blessing. The second thing I want you to know about prosperity is that prosperity is not limited to financial resources. I cannot tell you this enough. Prosperity, biblical prosperity, is not limited to financial blessings alone. This is where a lot of people get it wrong. Because many prosperity messages camp around finances and they stop there. The Bible says in Genesis 24 verse 1, the Bible says, and Abraham was old and stricken in age. It says, and God had blessed him in all things. All things. Say after me, all things. So prosperity is your excelling in every area of life. Spiritually, financially, hallelujah, in your family, When all around you is well with you. The Bible says God gave Solomon, was it Solomon or David, rest round about. Prosperity is not just limited to finance. Are you listening to me? So I need us to have a switch in mindset so that you, when we talk about prosperity, you don't just limit it. The word prosperity means to prosper. To prosper means to advance, to move forward, to excel, to lead. Hallelujah. This is the concept of prosperity that has not been understood in the church. Because everybody just says, all they are claiming it and jumping and receiving it, everything is just around themselves. The man of God and himself, or the church members and them and their ministry. That's not prosperity. That's welfare. And that is no different from what the world is doing. Hallelujah. Say, I'm prosperous. Say it, I'm prosperous. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll be sharing with you powerful principles. Obedience, number one. Obedience is the gateway to a life of true prosperity. Obedience. Don't trivialize what I'm sharing. Don't trivialize it at all. Many of you will rejoice on the strength of this revelation many years to come. Obedience is the gateway. Obedience is the gateway to a world of wealth, prosperity, finance. Job 36 verse 11. Job 36 verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Job, before Psalms. Job 36 verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. This is God's word. If. That means you have a choice. He said, if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. This is the immutable counsel of God. And I began by telling you, you cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. If ye obey and serve him. Psalm 112 verse 1 to 3. Shapako sata baladabosh. Psalm 112 verse 1 to 3. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man who feareth the Lord, who delighted greatly in his commandments. Verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. This is where we get the concept of generational blessing. The Bible says the generation of the upright. You see, true prosperity moves beyond you. Are you listening to me? True prosperity moves beyond you. It says the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Verse 3, if you are there. 1 to read. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. This is to those who delight in obeying the commands of God. He said, first his seed shall be mighty. So when you talk about Copeland, you hear the name Copeland, there is a generational blessing. His seed shall be mighty. Hallelujah. He says, the generation of the upright will be blessed. What our forefathers transferred to us in Nigeria are all kinds of curses and all kinds of satanic things. We woke up to meet a heritage of woes in Nigeria. And if we don't do something about it, we'll pass it to our generation. But God forbid, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. I love that scripture. Obedience. Obedience. Obedience to the principles of God is what will guarantee. I tell you the truth. Listen to me. Please listen to me. These are irrefutable principles. They will never be broken according to the integrity of God. Listen, the Bible says God searched for a man who was greater than. to swear by. And finding no man, God swore by himself. That by these two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. He said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the word that proceeds from my mouth. God can be trusted. It is on account of his integrity that we can have the confidence to obey his principles. Say amen. So obedience. There are many people who talk prosperity, who jump and claim prosperity, but are not ready to bear the responsibility of obedience. Let me tell you something. If you like, go to Oxford, Harvard, go to whatever you want to go. If you do not obey the principles of God, you will never get prosperity God's way. Hallelujah. You believe that? You cannot do anything against the truth. Obedience. Say after me, obedience. Obedience. When I began to search for this thing, I started saying, Lord, you must open my eyes to the revelation of your word. There's something that I need to know. I don't want to give my generation a heritage of poverty and weakness because it does not glorify God. Let me tell you straight to the point. God is not glorified in your poverty. Write it and never forget it. Nobody will preach me into believing that God is glorified in any man's poverty. You can accomplish more for the kingdom if you are blessed. Hallelujah. There is a world dying out there, and you can never help the poor by being one of them. More families have been broken as a result of financial issues than the manifestation of demons and evil spirits. There are many, many children who cannot afford to go to school. There are many families that cannot afford a meal. You're not going to just talk and pamper them. It will take the manifestation of kingdom wealth and prosperity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so I began to study this subject of prosperity to find out what the Bible really teaches about this truth. Because there are all kinds of teachings. And now I've listened to different versions and varieties of the prosperity message. Hallelujah. And I found an interesting scripture. And this is where our journey will start tonight. Hallelujah. Isaiah 51. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is changing somebody this night forever. Forever. And I mean it from the depths of my heart. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Are you there? Verse 2. It says, look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. He said, look unto Abraham. So God is saying, my portrait, my definition of what I call a prosperous person is Abraham. He said, look unto Abraham, thy father, and unto Sarah, your mother. He said, I called him alone. I blessed him and I increased him. So tonight we'll look unto Abraham. Abraham is the biblical portrait of God's idea of a blessed man. Are you listening to me? Not the rich people that you have read their books. Thank God for all of them. But let me tell you something. God's idea, his portrait of a blessed man is in the person of Abraham. Isaiah 51 verse 2. I was shocked when I found this scripture. He said, look, there are only two people in the Bible, as far as I know, that the Bible says we should look up to. One is Abraham. Second, he said, looking up to Jesus. So he said, look up to Abraham. There is a message in the life of Abraham that needs to be gotten by the body of Christ. Look unto Abraham.
He said, I called him alone. Look unto Abraham, your father. He says, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him. We sing a lot of songs. Abraham's blessings are mine. And when Jesus began to talk to the Jews, because they claimed they knew Abraham, and that the lineage of the Jewish nation started from Abraham. Let me show you something. John 8, quickly. John 8. Listen to an interesting statement that Jesus made to them. John 8, 39. The Jewish people were angry because they claimed that they were free. Are you there? Verse 39. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, what would happen? You would do the works of Abraham. Are you following me now? This is Jesus talking to the Jews. He's saying, you people always claim Abraham is your father, but you are not doing what Abraham did. And in Isaiah 51, he said, look unto Abraham. There is something Abraham did that made me to present him as the portrait of the man that God has blessed. Look unto Abraham. So the foundation of true biblical prosperity is when you begin to study this man called Abraham. There are certain steps that Abraham took. There are certain things that he did. Are you following me now? And that if any believer, I don't care who you are, I don't care what's your level of education. Listen, prosperity is not about business alone. It's not about job. All of those things come later. The foundation of prosperity is a proper understanding of God's word. I wish the graduates in Nigeria knew this truth. Are you listening to me? Biblical prosperity is not just opening a shop and let go. No. Just keep all those things first. There is an understanding. There is a foundation. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Look unto Abraham, your father. And to Sarah that body, for I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. So let's examine the life of Abraham. Unfortunately, when many people begin to teach on the biblical prosperity message, they don't even talk about Abraham. They begin to talk about themselves and their shoes and their suit and so on and so forth. Bible says, look unto Abraham. So what can we find in the life of Abraham? Number one, the principle of tithing. Abraham was a tither. Genesis 14. Please write it. Irrefutable truths and foundations that can turn any man. I don't care what the disadvantage is. If God be God, his word is true and you can stake him at his word. Number one is the principle of tithing. The Bible says in Genesis 14, there's no time for us to go there. The Bible says how that when Abraham went war to go and bring back his brother Lot and all his goods and everything. The Bible says they spoiled the enemies that they went for war against. And the Bible says when Abraham came, he met a man called Melchizedek. And the Bible says Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says Abraham gave him a tithe of his spoils. Look unto Abraham, your father. I'm giving you, see, God's prosperity package, let me tell you the truth, is not a mystery. I'm demystifying it for you tonight. It's not a mystery. Just like you go to school and you can know that you know some things, you can get these principles. Say amen. Amen. Look unto your father Abraham. The first thing we see in the life of Abraham is that Abraham was a tither. Abraham was a tither. So number one principle is tithing. Write your tithing. What is your tithe? A tithe is the tenth portion of your income. A tenth portion of your increase. Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be full and thy vats to overflowing. The principle of tithing. Now many believers have been taught different concepts about tithing. Let me tell you something, friends. If you do not tithe, you are scripturally entitled to a life of poverty. Scripturally. If you do not, I don't care what else you do. I don't care whether you work in the presidency. I assure you, your prosperity will not last. Say after me, tithing. Tithing is the key that opens the heavens. That key that opens up the heavens and is the foundation for lasting abundance. Leviticus 27 verse 30. We're looking up to Abraham. Leviticus. I really want to finish this. Because the Lord is answering somebody's prayer point tonight. Prosperity is not just the issue of prayer and say, Lord, bring money. Tonight you will see that you will pray that prayer forever and you will not get an answer. Hallelujah. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Are you there? And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto God. All the tithes. Say all. Not some. All the tithe of the land belongs to God. Your tithe is 10%. The Bible says it is holy. It's an instruction. It's an admonition. It's part of God's economic system. That for every true believer and everyone that cares to receive the package of God's blessings, your tithe is the number one. There are many believers who do not tithe. I know many prayer warriors who are poor and they are broke. I know many people who are full of revelations. I know all kinds of people. Let me tell you something, friends. Your tithe opens the heavens. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8 to 12. He says, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? That's the question. Will a man rob God? And there are many robbers of God in the church. Many pastors, members, sincere people, but robbers of God. He said, will a man rob God? He said, yet ye have robbed me. And they say, wherein have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. Listen, he said, you are cursed. Can I tell you something? This is not the curse of the law. Hello? This is not the curse of the law. This is the curse that comes as a direct result. The word curse there means woe. I tell you sincerely, if you are not a faithful tither, the hardship of your life have not started yet. Show me a man who has all the blessings in the world and is not a faithful tither. I don't envy his blessings. Hallelujah. The recession brought a lot of arrogant economic theories to their knees and proved that only they that stand with the Lord will last forever. Do you believe that? Till tomorrow we are still speaking about Abraham. Listen, Israel, the biological son of Abraham, has become a nation today, the nation Israel. The nation Israel is still a prosperous nation today. A nation that is on deserts, they farm on rocks, yet they are exporting food. Are you listening to me? surrounded by every atmosphere of hostility, but they are still standing strong as a Jewish nation, dispersed for many years, and they came back together and they still understood their language. The best students in Harvard today are Jewish students. The very best. The best of business owners in America today are Jewish people, because he says, blessed is the man that fears God. His seed shall be mighty. Are you listening to me? Today, people troop to Israel again and again to go for pilgrimage. But he said, if you claim Abraham is your father, then do what Abraham did. Otherwise, you are a hypocrite. Are you following me now? So, number one principle is what? Tithing. The Bible says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes. Say after me, all the tithes. Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. He said, and prove me, test me. Commit my integrity, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and shower upon you a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its young before its time. He said, you will be called blessed and you will be a delightsome land. Seven prophetic blessings that follow Titus. I called Abraham alone, naive, taught him certain principles, and I produced a wonder, a portrait of a prosperous man. Say after me, I receive grace to tithe. Listen, tithing is the foundation of your prosperity. Are you listening to me? Many people give all kinds of excuses. My parents gave their tithe in their salary. Oh, our pastor said this and that. Any man that teaches you not to tithe, even if he loves you, is wrecking your financial destiny. I say it again and I will repeat it. Any man, I don't care who teaches you that you should not tithe and just says one day things will work for you, except this scripture can be broken. And the Bible says you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Any man who is not a faithful tither is doomed to fail in his finances. Prosperity will be far from you, I assure you. Did you know that even secular people who are not born again practice the principle of tithing? They may not call it tithing, but 10% of many corporations today that are some of the leading corporations, 10% and even more are giving. They ignite this principle. Look unto Abraham. Say, I receive grace to be a tither. See, tonight there are many of you that there is no devil stopping you from your prosperity. It's your greed. And Satan keeps deceiving you and makes you think if you give, or if you give your tithe, how much do you have? And you say, one day when I start working. The problem is this. It is your tithing that brings you into blessings. Hallelujah. Abraham gave a tithe. Number two, Abraham was a sacrificial giver. Your giving. Abraham was a giver. Genesis 18, verse 1 to 8. Write it, we don't have time to read it. But the Bible makes us to understand that Abraham was just sitting down taking fresh air outside. Suddenly he saw three people coming. He didn't even bother to find out whether they came to kill him or not. The Bible says he ran to meet them. And he told them, he said, you are welcome. You are welcome to my house. Come and sit down. He said they gave them water to wash their feet. He ran immediately and went and caught a lamb. He told his wife, get flour, prepare food for these people. And the Bible says, a liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall himself be watered. Proverbs 11 verse 24 and 25. A liberal soul shall be made fat. There are many greedy and stingy people in the church, and they will never break that barrier of poverty. Be educated, get PhD, get masters, go to Harvard, go. If you are not a giver, forget about prosperity. Are you getting blessed tonight? Your giving is tied to the principle of sowing and reaping. Genesis 8:22. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night shall not cease, as long as the earth remains. That means this principle is in motion. If you do not sow anything, brothers and sisters, let me tell you the sincere truth, you will not receive anything. Agriculture teaches us that, correct? Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Don't give, and it shall not be given unto you. Period and full stop. Don't give, and it shall not be given unto you. The Bible says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. He said, for with the same measure you give, don't let anybody deceive you that the size of your seed does not matter. Agriculture teaches us more than that. The Bible says, he that soweth sparingly, 2 Corinthians 9, shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. The Bible says, let every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, give cheerfully and not grudgingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. The next verse says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He said, he which gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That means out of every resource that comes, there is bread and there is seed. Hallelujah. If you sow your bread, you are not wise. If you eat your seed, you are not wise. For everything God gives you, there is bread and there is seed. Many people eat everything. Once you get it, it's going to your mouth straight. Whose God is their belly? Are you learning something tonight? Say, I'm a giver. Break the shackles of greed in your life. And I'm telling you, you will step. I don't care who you know. Or Paul said, know we no man after the flesh. This is not an issue of connection. I know this, I know that. That's not the issue. For Jeremiah 1 verse 12 says, God is alert and active, watching over his word to perform it. And if God be God, then his word cannot be broken. Irrefutable principles. Your tithing. Number two, your giving. So we see that Abraham was a giver. Genesis 1, 18 verse 1 to 8. And the Bible says in Proverbs 11 verse 24 and 25, a liberal soul shall be made fat. Hallelujah. I told you according to Genesis 24 verse 1, that prosperity is not just limited to finances. The Bible says God blessed Abraham in all things. All things. Hallelujah. Prosperity. This has been our secret as individuals and as a ministry. Listen, I learned this from Bishop David Oyedepo some years ago. He shared a powerful principle. He said in 1987, the Lord told him that he has started prospering as a person, but his ministry, let me tell you something. And this is what preachers miss. Do you know, if I am prosperous as a preacher, alright, and if you are prosperous as a preacher and the members of your ministry are not prosperous, the yoke will kill you. Are you listening to me? There are many preachers who are prosperous, but they are not teaching their members, and so they are dying alone. Praise the Lord. And he said, the Lord told him, he said he was meditating, and the Lord told him, he said, do you realize that Abraham did not go to battle alone? Correct? He went with some people. So that spoil was not just for him alone. So when he came and he gave the tithe on behalf of other people too. I told him, that's the secret of corporate growth. Are you listening to me? And from the very first day, by the grace of God, that Koinonia started, we don't owe God as a ministry one naira in tithe. This is the secret behind the blessing. It's not a mystery. Are you listening to me? It's not some mystery, some magic. No. There are ministries that don't tithe. They don't care. They've been there for 10 years, 20 years. No improvement, no growth. And they give all kinds of lousy excuses. They've tried all kinds of economic theories. The secret is tithing. Hallelujah. Do you believe what I'm teaching you? Well, whether you believe it or not, one day you will believe it. Certainly. Everybody in hell is a believer. The only issue is that they believe too late. The key to open heavens over a ministry, over any organization, I don't care what it is, tithe. Say after me, tithe. If you don't, there is no future. There is no future for any financial future, prosperity future, for any ministry or any organization that is not faithful in tithing. And let me tell you, the secret of getting the blessings of tithing is consistency. Write it. Many of you tithe, but you are not consistent. You do it once in a while. One day when there is a spiritual, emotional high, then you know. Consistent tithing. Consistent tithing. The Bible says, and if the cloud be full of rain, they will empty themselves. Thank you, Jesus. Giving is the key to increase. Giving is the key to continuous blessings. Shall men give? Shall men give? Not shall angels give. Your prosperity. I don't believe in what they call wealth creation. There's nothing called wealth creation. I believe in wealth transfer. There's no new money that has fallen from anywhere. It's only been transferred from one geographical location to the other. Shall men give? I hear a lot of people, our scripture, we like that scripture. Oh, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Massive wealth transfer is coming. Hold on. Hold on. I've read it too. But let me shock you. Because according to God's wealth transfer plan, some believers are also going to be victims. The Bible says the man with one talent, they collected it from him. He was part of the three. And they gave the man who had five. Oh, we are talking it. Talking. Let me tell you, before you talk it, make sure that all the principles are there. Otherwise, you will talk yourself to frustration. I assure you. We've examined the word of faith already. I don't need to go back into it. Are you listening to me? Obedience. Deuteronomy 18 verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to observe and to do all that I command thee this day, that the Lord will set thee above on high, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. It shall come to pass, if you hearken to his voice and you obey, no matter who you are. See, God is not a respecter of men, but is a respecter of his word. The Bible says he exalts his word even above his name. Hallelujah. So your tithing and your giving is the same as your sowing. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully. So we see sowing there. He said, every man as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give. So he links sowing to giving and receiving to harvest. And the Bible says, as far as the earth remains, seed time. See, when you see certain people make some statements, it's not because they are talkative. It's because they have taken God by his word. And on account of the integrity of God, they can beat their chest. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He's not a stranger to me. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which has been committed. I want you to leave here tonight with a depth of persuasion. Hallelujah. Now, God's economic system works on what we call a reward system. A reward system. That means when you adhere to his principles, there are channels through which God will honor his word back to your life. There are many tithers, there are many givers, but they do not know how the return channels of God. They don't know how these blessings of God comes and manifest physically, and that's what I want to teach you tonight. The concept of kingdom wealth and prosperity is not so complicated. It's just that many hear, but very few obey. Obedience is not a little issue. Many people see obedience as small children's talk. As you rise higher in the spirit, you find out that obedience is a symbol of true spiritual maturity. The Bible says when you are young, you are allowed to go wherever you want to go. But as you become matured, someone will hold your hands. That's a sign that you are matured. So God's economic system works on what I call a reward system. Say after me, a reward system. That means if I'm faithful in tithing and I'm faithful in giving, how do these spiritual realities begin to translate and manifest into my life? Number one, the doorways, you can write, doorways to the physical manifestation of wealth and prosperity. After you have obeyed in consistent tithing, after you are faithful in sacrificial giving, not based on emotions, based on revelation. These are the things to expect. This is how God opens up these doors. Number one, divine favor. Divine favor. Psalm 44 verse 3, divine favor. Please, let's hurry up quickly. Psalm 44. Anybody there? Doorways to the physical manifestation of these blessings. Psalm 44 verse 3. He said, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst favor upon them. So when you become a faithful tither, when you become a committed and ardent sacrificial giver, the first thing that begins to happen in your life is undeniable favor. These are gateways to the manifestation. The Bible says, and Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. And I hope you know that Jesus was a giver. Jesus was a faithful giver. John 13 verse 27 to 29. The Bible says that when Jesus was at table with the disciples, he told Judas, he said, that which you would do, do it quickly. Hallelujah. And Judas got up, and the people were confused. And it was one of two things. They said either he was going to go and prepare the place for feast, or to give to the poor. That means it was Jesus was a giver. He was such a giver that he gave himself. Hallelujah. Jesus was such a giver that he didn't just give of his substance. He gave himself. Hallelujah. So divine favor. Psalm 102 verse 13. Look at it quickly. 102 verse 13. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. Next verse, Exodus 12:36. It's pure Bible studies tonight. Exodus 12:36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they gave unto them such things as they required, and they despoiled the Egyptians. He said the Lord gave what? Favor.
And as a result, the Egyptians got what they required. So, if you are faithful, I'm telling you how God's economic system works. When you are faithful in tithing, you are faithful in giving, suddenly you begin to see a manifestation of consistent favor. I'm not talking of once in 3 years. Once in consistent favor. Consistent favor. Hallelujah. Leviticus 26 verse 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shadow Bakura Supratishilaba. Oh, I have a glorious future. I'm confident. Confident. See, when you know something, you know it. You know it. Nobody can take it away from you. Knowledge is an asset. Hallelujah. My greatest asset is the word of God. Verse 9. I found this scripture and it shocked me. Leviticus 26 verse 9. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. He said, for I will have respect. That's another word for favor. Some versions say I will favor you. He said, I will have respect for you. I will multiply. So that's favor with God and favor with men. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with men. Say, I have favor. In the name of Jesus. Number two. Wisdom. 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 Proverbs 8. Many people do not know the power of wisdom. Wisdom is not common sense. It's not common. Wisdom. Proverbs 8. Are you receiving something tonight? Proverbs 8. I tell you, somebody is changing in this place. I know it. I know it by the Spirit. Many of you, you will write some of these things and generations, you will literally liberate your lineage and bring a new story to your heritage. I believe this in the name of Jesus. I truly believe this. You may be in the crowd. Some of you may be outside. Nobody is seeing you. But this word, there is a spirit of the word that will enter you and distinguish you. 14. This is wisdom speaking. He said, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. He said, by me, kings reign. Kings don't reign by talking and stories and jargons. They reign by wisdom. Those who are ahead in life reign by wisdom. This is not an issue of age. This is not an issue of status. When the wisdom of God mantles you, you will do wonders. No matter how young you are, I tell you, you will do things that will shock people. Men will look at you. You are operating from a frequency that is not known to man. Job said, there is a path where no fowl knoweth. The eyes of the vulture has not seen. Doth not wisdom cry? This is not knowledge. This is not head knowledge. It's not Sophia. It's a higher plane of existence. When the heavens are open over you, you become an unending wonder. Men sit down and say, from they looked at Jesus, they said, what wisdom? If men do not talk about your wisdom, then you are just a talkative. Uncommon wisdom is a mark of God upon a man. And you cannot equate the man and the wisdom that comes from him. There is a higher force at work in his life. Wisdom. I listened to Pat Robertson years ago and I cried and I vowed that that would be my prayer. He said when he was young and about to start ministry, he prayed three prayer points. He said, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me favor and give me your anointing. I said, that's right. The Bible says, follow them who through faith. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me favor. And God gave Solomon wisdom. And with that wisdom, he became a wonder. And the Queen of Sheba came and said, I've not even seen half of what was told me. See, let me tell you, the world is about to be amazed at the dimension of wisdom that obedient believers will walk in. Wisdom. Proverbs 4 from verse 5 to 9. Kapalakataya. I know it when the word is entering somebody's spirit. I tell you, I know it when the word is entering. There are some, not everybody. I know there are some of you just looking. It's a nice service. But there are some people that say, Lord, this is it. I've been praying. This is it tonight. I lay hold on to sound wisdom. And I change my destiny forever. Proverbs 4 from verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. 7, read it together. 1, 2, read. This is the wisest man that ever lived speaking. He said, wisdom, I've tested it as a king. I've tested it in my life. And this is my verdict. Wisdom is the principal thing. He said, therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Listen to the blessings. 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Wisdom will bring you to honor. If you value wisdom, it will bring you to honor. I'm telling you, money cannot give you honor. Money cannot give you honor. Honor is bigger than the realm of money. It's wisdom that brings men to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee. Wisdom. When you are faithful in tithing, you are faithful in giving, God begins to give you wisdom. Creative wisdom. Creative wisdom. He said, by me kings reign. This ministry today, by the grace of God, is carried out not by experience. How old are we? It's called wisdom. It's not Sophia. It's not the wisdom of the world. It's a higher level and order of wisdom. Do you believe this tonight? Number 3. Divine ideas. Divine ideas. Divine ideas. Divine ideas. God showed me a mystery that opened my eyes. Divine ideas. Insight. Innovation. Job 32 verse 8. He said, but there is a spirit that resides in a man. And the inspiration. When the Holy Ghost inspires you, He will make you of understanding. Isaiah 45 from verse 1 and 3. He says, and I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. 48 verse 17 says, I am the Lord thy God who teacheth thy hands to profit. Divine ideas. Listen to what the Lord told me. He said, bring ye all the tithes. Please listen. He says, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open what? The windows of heaven. And I began to use Google to search all the verses that have to do with the windows of heaven. And I got a shocking revelation. Because I found out that in Genesis 26, or Genesis 7, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, in the days of Noah, it says, and God opened the windows of heaven, and what came out was rain. It says, and I will open the windows of heaven and shower upon you a blessing. But he said, that blessing will come and there will be no room enough for it. What a mystery. A blessing. No room to contain that blessing. That means that blessing is not money, it's not materials. Hallelujah. Ideas. Then I listened to Oral Roberts and he said it's called ideas, concepts, insights, innovation. Every time God is ready to bless his people, there is a sudden release of the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Insight. Are you listening to me? Men have changed their lives. Insights.
We are looking up to Abraham. The Bible makes us to understand that when Abraham left, he didn't have much. But God gave him insight.
In Jewish days, most agriculturists were nomads. Alright? They moved from one place to the other. Suddenly, God gave Abraham insight. And what happened? Instead of roaming around with his cattle, he dug a well. So that the cattle had a stable place. Insight. Ideas. The Bible says he shall be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water. Every other plant receives rain from above. But there is a level of understanding that takes you to the stream. So you don't depend on the rain above. Insight. Insight. In Genesis 26 verse 17 to 22. The story of Isaac. Because the Bible speaking about Abraham said that God knew that Abraham would teach his sons to walk in the ways of the Lord. So I believe Isaac was a tither. And he enjoyed some of these blessings. The Bible says he also dug wells. Just like his father. And he increased in cattle. He increased in everything. And when there was a time of famine in Genesis 26, other people were running away. But Isaac sowed in that same land. And received that same year an hundredfold. The Bible says, and God prospered him. The man worked strong. He moved forward. And the Philistines envied him. Hallelujah. Insight. So the rain talks about the Holy Spirit. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Isaiah 32 verse 15. Then the wilderness will be turned into a fruitful vine. And the fruitful vine be turned into a forest. Hallelujah. Inside. Jacob and Laban. In Genesis 30 verse 25 to 43. Genesis 30 verse 25 to 43. The Bible talks about Jacob and Laban. After working for 14 good years for two wives. The Bible says Laban had worked Jacob out. He was taking care of Laban's cattle. And because the favor of the Lord was with him, his cattle increased. And when he was about to go, what happened? Laban said, come. By experience, I have known that God has blessed me for thy sake. By experience, I've seen it in my cattle. That God has blessed me for thy sake. He said, remain with me. And he said, here's the deal. All of the goats and the sheep that are spotted, they are for me. They were very few. The ones that are not spotted, they are for you. Suddenly, divine insight came upon him. And the Bible says by the riverside, I'm still studying that technology till tomorrow. How he took polar trees and kept them. And then the animals came and they were mating, looking at the polar trees. And all the children that they gave birth to had spots. Can you imagine that level of insight? Suddenly Laban found out that his animals were not giving birth to white sheep and goat again. They were all spotted. Say after me, divine insight. Uzziah in the Bible, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5 to 15, was an amazing king. The Bible says he walked in the way of Zacharias, and as long as he sought God, God prospered him. And then the Bible says insight came to him. The Bible says he built towers in the valleys. He built towers above. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he built engines. He built machines. He stationed his army in a certain pattern that nobody could break through. When you read about Uzziah, you will see that he was a giver in the house of God. He was a tither. So when you give, you receive divine inspiration. Hallelujah. One great man I respect so much, Peter J. Daniels. He's worth above $5 billion. Never went to school, never saw a wall of a university. Hallelujah. He just got up. All he had was the Bible. At age 26, he was a complete failure. But today he's a blessing to the world all over. Because he found these truths in God's word and applied them. He's a minister. And he has changed the face of humanity because an idea came upon him. Our fathers have told us of how certain insights and ideas came to them and changed their story forever. I pray that as you are faithful in tithing and giving, I pray that the God of all flesh who can pick a man irrespective of his lineage and distinguish him, I pray that the God of all grace will show you something that your eyes will see, that generations will bless you forever. I pray in the name that is above all names, that God, that while men are looking, you will see. While men are looking, you will see. Hallelujah. And he told Lot, he said, look at the field anywhere you want. And all Lot was looking, but he could not see green pastures. All he saw was Sodom. And he seemed to have picked the choicest land. Immediately he saw that it turned. The Bible says God told Abraham, now lift up your eyes and see. He didn't say look and see. When God tells you to see, you will see things that no man saw. When he was about to kill Isaac, there was no ram. All the while that ram had been there, but his eyes could not see. The Bible says suddenly he said, look, this is a ram. Hallelujah. He said two men were going to Emmaus and they could not see. Jesus was with them, but they could not see in between the lines. They were walking with him, but they did not see. The Bible says, and when he broke bread, their eyes were opened. May God open your eyes. I prophesy, may God open your eyes. Let my God open your eyes. I pray that as you sleep in the night, by visions, by dreams, I pray that the Lord will show you something. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I read about a man who kept diligently tithing and giving. Nothing was working in his life. One night he slept and he just saw an equation and he saw a drawing. And he happened to be very good in drawing. He got up and he just drew it. And in the dream, they told him, they said, that is a solution that will be relevant in optics. He went to a popular hospital. He said, please, he wants to see the consultants. And he met them. He said, I saw this in my dream and I want you to go through it. True life story. The consultant looked at it. And he was shocked. He said, where did you see this? He said, in my dream. What does it mean, please? He called other consultants. And they came together and they looked at it. They had a meeting and they called the man. They said, you don't know what you have discovered. We have done everything we know to do. Instantly, they gave him a check of $20 million. He was interviewed in Supernatural. The race is not to the swift. There are keys. You don't have them, you don't have them. Period and full stop. Divine insight. I pray all the time. I say, Lord, grant me insight. I don't want to live a foolish life. I don't want to struggle for nothing. Open my eyes, oh God, and show me where you hid these treasures. Kenneth Copeland, 6 years. 6 years before his breakthrough. One of the wealthiest ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. He sat down, was suffering, could not bless his generation. And he found this truth with his wife. Was in debt of $750,000. And he began to take this word seriously. Suddenly the Lord led him to buy a large plot of land. And they found out that there was an oil well under it. I pray. Brothers and sisters, I pray for you. Some of you would think you are so young, but I pray for you. People have changed history out of the depth of revelation. I pray that your eyes will see something. I pray that your eyes will see something. Innovation. People will mock you now. Hold on. The end of all contention is results. For you cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. Insight. God will lead you. God will lead you. He will show you things. Hallelujah. I was told about someone in Kaduna. He was walking and praying and asking God to change his story. Suddenly he looked and he saw a vast plot of land somewhere. And the Lord told him to write a proposal and take it, I think, to Coca-Cola or so. And that guy just got up and went to Coca-Cola. He went and met the owner of the land. He said, "Will you sell this land?" "He will buy it." They said, "You are a small boy, get out of here." He said, "No, will you sell it?" He said, "Well, if we give us a good price." And he went and met Coca-Cola with a proposal. He said, "We notice your trucks don't have a place for parking. I've gotten a nice place that I think you would like to look at." Say after me, "Inside." And suddenly they saw it and they said, "Okay, we'd like to get the place." And he went and met the people. He said, "I found somebody. And I just stand as a middleman." And it changed his life forever. People's stories are changing every day. Those who are practicing the word. See, prosperity gives you focus to serve God. Prosperity gives you focus. One of the blessings of prosperity is the ability to focus. You don't want to get up and have children and be running. You will never serve God and live your destiny. See, this chase after money, money, money. You will never be able to serve God if all you are doing all through your life is chasing after money. Is that correct? But that's the deceit Satan has put on many people. Day and night, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, what are you doing? We are trying to make ends meet. Why don't you stay with the word? It's better to suffer now. It's better to suffer now. Are you hearing me? It's better to suffer now. You are not married. Some of you, you don't have children. It's better to pay the price now. Men will laugh at you. They will mock you. But you just hold on. When the word begins to speak, not even you can stop it. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. Matthew 17 verse 27. There was need to pay tax to Caesar. And they came and they were harassing the apostles. They were with Jesus. Suddenly Jesus had a divine innovation. And he told Peter, he said, "Peter, go to the sea. Go and catch a fish. Open the mouth of that fish and remove a coin." I pray that God will lead somebody. God will tell you, go somewhere, catch a fish. There is gold in the mouth of that fish. You have been seeing an ordinary fish, but let the Lord open your eyes. He looked at the wife of the sons of the prophet. He said, "You have a little cruse of oil in your house. You call it nothing, but let the Lord open your eyes, for that oil can multiply and it can feed you and your generations forever." Irrefutable laws. It will work for anybody. God is no respecter of persons. He may come with a momentary sacrifice, but let me tell you, stand to it. This is another balance of the prosperity gospel. They just tell you, if you are doing it, it must happen now. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. It's not the time to give up. Stand strong and see the word of the Lord in your life. Hallelujah. Finally, the channels, the works of your hands. The works of your hands. Job chapter 1 verse 9 and 10. The Bible says that when the sons of God came together, Job was with them. And what happened? Satan began to speak about Job. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" This was Satan testifying. See, let me tell you something. I read a book by Papa Akpami and he said some battles. The name of the book is Battles Satan Cannot Win. When I read that book, it changed my life. It was a gift that he gave me. The only way Satan can stop your harvest is to stop your sowing. Satan does not need to be absent for you to be blessed. All this Satan go away. No, no, no. Let him stay and be a witness. Because he was a witness to Job's prosperity. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And Satan said, "Have you not blessed the works of his hands? And or have you not blessed?" Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This negates that gospel of laziness. A lazy man will never be prosperous. Say it. There are many lazy seed givers, tongue talkers, but they are lazy. The Bible says, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it." Many people are lazy. The Bible says, "God will bless the works of your hands." This is where I teach certain other laws. if you followed our message, Kingdom Wealth Summit, the law of value, develop yourself, the works of your hands. How does God bless the works of your hands? In three ways. Number one, He gives you passion. Passion. That's how God blesses the work of your hands. He gives you passion. Number two, He gives you access to quality information. Access to quality information. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Many people suffer because they lack information. Quality information that is able to cause you to excel and to lead in whatever area. To be the best. I told myself I'll be the best in whatever I'm called to do. Number three, He gives you the spirit of excellence. That's how God blesses the works of your hands. So I'm demystifying it so that you don't just think some ghost comes from somewhere and see. No. There are three ways. We're not in a business class, so this is just ministry. There's no point going into in depth to expound it. But God blesses the works of your hands in three ways. Number one, He gives you passion. Anything you are not passionate about, you will not prosper in it. Period and full stop. The best in everything are those who are passionate there. Hallelujah. Number two, He gives you access to information. There are many of us that what you need is information. Every time I am aware of, I know that if I can get more information that I have now, I will not be where I am. Therefore, I'm consistently opening up my spirit for information. Many of you don't read books. You see that this is where the place of diligence comes. Leadership, the word leadership is from the word lead. Leadership is not a position. Leadership is influence that is gotten by commanding results. Hallelujah. Many of us are not diligent. You don't read any books on finance. You don't read any book on biblical prosperity. You say it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. We are still talking about other gospels. But that gospel that tells you just sit down and serve God, one day God will see your diligence and bless you. Let me assure you, you will never prosper that way. Because my father and mother are passionate people about God. My mother was a pastor's daughter. I know I pray sometimes for half of the passion my mother has for God. It didn't change my family's financial story. Are you listening to me? Many of your parents are pastors in ministry. They have been in ministry for decades. They have given everything they have, but they are still suffering. That tells you there is a law you must find out. Don't ever think your spirituality will cover up for lack of understanding of God's word. If you have been hoping that one day God will see my faithfulness and change my story, let me tell you before time, you are in for a rude shock. There is something called the justice of God. His ability to bless those who are disciplined and diligent enough to walk with His principles. Hallelujah. Round up. The works of your hands. These are the channels. Four ways. How did God teach me this? He says, and from the east of Eden came out one river, and it parted itself into four. One river out of Eden parted itself into four. And in one of the rivers there was gold. And He said, the gold is very good. I'll never be poor in my life. Never. My generation will call me blessed. The blessings upon my life will bring a harvest of many to the kingdom. Nations will be transformed. This I believe. Prosperity is being a blessing. It's not about gathering cars, gathering houses. That's a lopsided definition of prosperity. Prosperity is not what you have. Is measured by how much you have given to bless mankind. A prosperous man, I do not envy you. I don't care how much you have. I want to know how many people have been blessed. That's the measure of true biblical prosperity. That's why there are many people, I don't envy their wealth till I die. They don't bless anybody with their prosperity. They sit down and all they want is just to flaunt themselves and say, oh, I have cars, I have houses. That's sorrow there. If I never drive a car in my life,
Hallelujah. And you become blessed. I'm a prosperous person. That's the biblical definition of prosperity. Not about how many cars, how many this. I'm telling you this. Get that correct definition right now. Because there are wrong prosperity teachings out there. And everybody is, my car, my house, my this, my that. All testimonies is just, I look forward to times when somebody will come and say, Capro Ministry said they had a need of 15 million naira. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. And I signed it. Because of that, they have sent missionaries to Congo. They have sent missionaries. That's the kind of testimony we'll stand up and clap. Don't come and tell us, I stood and I just built a nice house. And how is the world blessed by that story? Prosperity. I pray every time and I say, Lord, bless me. Already in my journals, I've written a comprehensive list of evangelical ministries that will send children that will go to school because we are blessed. Families that will be changed. We're talking about building estates and giving it to people. We're talking about rescuing nations. Not yourself and your wife and your children. If you don't believe this, God will search your heart and see it. This is biblical prosperity. I believe it. I know that if I refuse to pay the price today, a nation will suffer. I will never stand my child looking at me in the face and say, Daddy, why did you not believe God when others were believing? Many of you have had to look at your parents and they say, this guy was my classmate. You say, really? What happened? You didn't believe what he was believing. I will let God be proud of me. My best Lord is everything I have. My best Lord, I give all I have to you. My best Lord is everything I have. My best Lord, I give all I have to you. My best Lord, for your glory is everything I have. My best Lord, I give all I have to you. Hallelujah. There are other benefits that are not financial that come in when you obey God's word. Divine health, protection, longevity. Longevity. Psalms 41 verse 1 to 3. We're out of time. But I want you to pay the price this night and listen. Let me finish this series. This could be the best gift you have had this year. Psalms 41 verse 1 to 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou shalt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Look at this powerful scripture. Verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in sickness. I, the Lord, will be merciful unto him. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Okay, so that you just read that to verse 3 and then you stop there. Number 2. Psalm 20, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 20, verse 1 to 3. Powerful prayer. This has become my prayer. See, many of you lack the keys that you need. See, on the strength of revelation, you can ride gloriously in life. 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from his sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. The Lord hear thee. Send thee help from his sanctuary. Many of you will need to go to your loved ones and go and give them some of these scriptures. Job 22. Job 22. Let's finish up. We'll soon round up. Job 22. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 23. I'll read it whether or not you are there. Verse 23. I'm going to show you one powerful mystery that I found. I shouted when I found it.
If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And thou shalt put away iniquity very far from thy tent. He said, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. He said, yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Listen. And then thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty, and thou shalt lift up thy face unto God. He said, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and thy light shall shine upon thy ways. Listen, 29. When men say there is a casting down, then thou shalt say there is a lifting up, and it shall save the humble person. Listen, listen. Look at verse 30. Dangerous scripture. Does anybody have any other version aside from King James? Please, anybody, quickly. Verse 30. Is there anybody there? Listen, he said what? Even sinners will be rescued. Dangerous mystery. That on account of your practicing the word, you can shield people who are not even believers. He said, even sinners. So my loved ones who are not obeying the word of God, I can stand and there is a key in the spirit I can ignite. And stand and speak. He said, even sinners will be rescued. When you find it, he said, your heart will be glad. When you find it, he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. That's the prayer I pray for this house every time. I say, Lord, there are some people here who are not born again. There are some people here who are not faithful in tithing. But by this scripture, oh God, I pray that you cover for them until the revelation hits them. That's why you see some people who are not faithful in the word of God, but they are still getting blessed. Talk about intercession with knowledge. Isaiah 65, 20 to 24. Isaiah 65, 20 to 24. My spirit is boiling. If only one person can catch this thing this night, I'm happy. Don't just be emotional about it. Don't just be emotional. Many of you are hearing what some families are praying about and saying, Lord, change our story. It's not an impartation. It's light. Many people are saying, oh God, we want to start a new business. That's not the issue. Verse 20. There shall be no more in it infant of days. These are the blessings for tithing and giving. Nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Listen, 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat of the fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of the tree, they are the days of my people, and my elect will long enjoy the works of their hands. 23. Thou shalt not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. He said, for they are the seed of the blessed, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. You cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. Hallelujah. Divine health, protection, longevity. These are blessings that follow people who are faithful. Are you seeing that prosperity is not just about money? Look at what a lot of people have been missing. So every time you hear people make certain audacious statements, there is a revelation they are standing upon. You will only criticize if you don't know what they know. Knowledge intoxicates. Finally, I want to round up with something. Just 2 minutes and I'll be done. I have to address this issue. We're talking about the gospel of prosperity. Hallelujah. The concept of giving to your man of God, or what we know as prophet's offering. I need to teach on this on the next 1 minute and put a balance quickly. What is the concept of prophet's offering? And the concept of giving to over the man of God. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 8 to 17,
Second Kings. Thank you, Jesus. Second Kings 4. Oh, I wish we had so much time. Second Kings 4 from verse 8. Hallelujah. The Bible says there was a woman, she was a Shunammite woman. Hallelujah. And that every time Elijah passed to Shunem, please listen, that the woman saw him. She was a great woman. The Bible says she constrained him to eat bread. And every time he passed, she called him. Elisha was a man of God. Every time he passed, the woman saw him. She said, I perceive that this is a man of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says she built a place for him. First, she was giving him bread. And then she built a place for him. Listen, please, carefully. When she built a place for him, she put candles, something for him to write. Prophets were writers or men of God of those days. It applies now to everybody. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that it came to pass when this woman was doing all of the things that he was doing. The Bible says, verse 12, and he said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. That means the man had been touched by her generosity. First, she perceived that he was a man of God. Can I tell you something? Okay, well, I'll say that a little later. He said, and she stood before him. Listen, 13. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast shown care for us with all this care. What is it that will be done for thee? He said, would thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Look up. Every true servant of God does not depend on the finance of his congregation. This guy was an influential man. He said, should we talk to the government for you? Are you listening to me? Elisha was not a poor man. Every man of God that depends on his members for his welfare, God sent me to be a blessing, not to be a burden. Many men of God have put their members in all kinds of burden and yoke as if they are the ones who called him. Go and meet the person who called you into ministry. He said, when I sent you, lackest thou anything? Hallelujah. However, the Bible says the woman did what? She gave him bread and she built a place for him. As a result, what happened? To summarize the story, he found out, he looked at her life and found out that there was something she did not have. And he said, according to the time of life. Are you listening to me? In 2 Kings 17 verse 9, 1 Kings 17 verse 9 to 16, the story of the widow in Zarephath. When the brook Cherith had dried, God sent Elijah. Interestingly, God said, dear, I have commanded a widow to feed thee. But we do not see any record of the woman being aware that Elisha was coming. But God said, I have commanded her. Look at a very wicked prophet, for heaven's sake. When he just got there, look at what Elisha said. When he went there, he said, madam, please bring me water. As if he was not aware that there was famine. Are you listening to me? He said, bring me water. And as the woman said, okay. He said, as you are coming, please add bread and oil. The woman said, Abba, sorry sir, I know you're a man of God, but are you blind? I'm about to eat the last one and die. He said, just go and bring it first. I want to prophesy. Go and bring it. And he said, as surely as the Lord lives, that flour will not run dry. The Bible says, and they ate from it many days. Can I tell you something? Listen, when you give to a man of God that God has placed over you, you are not trying to help him financially. Your giving is not donation. Many people, are you seeing the balance now? Because there are many believers who like it. They say, hey, we thank God, koinonia, we don't give, nobody puts any pressure. You are going to be poor. There is a blessing. Listen. When God places men of God over your life, their function is four. I must teach you this tonight. Number one, to open your eyes to the revelation of the word. Number two, to supply spiritual guidance and direction. Number three, to correct and instruct you in the way of the Lord. The Bible says to correct you in righteousness.
Number four, to speak over your life. Hallelujah. When God puts a man of God over your life, who is effective? Are you listening to me? One way that you step into cheap blessing is to learn to sow into their lives. Now, you know by God's grace that we are blessed. So don't you think I'm trying to manipulate you to get your money? No. If I depend on Koinonia for my well-being, it means I will die. Because I have to tie myself to the obedience of all of you. What if God tells you, Aaron, to bless me, and you have to think about it for one month? I'll be suffering for 1 month till you finally tell God yes. Every man of God is blessed by his own giving life, not the members. It is my giving and adherence to God's principle that blesses me. Many of you have been robbed of the opportunity. Are you listening to me? I will teach you this because it's truth. Many of you do not care about the ministers. Many of you don't care about us. When I say care, I'm not talking about giving. Oh, we have learned to see the faithfulness of God. But I'm saying that you are robbing yourself. I tell you sincerely under God, if you give to me, you don't make me richer. You create a platform for yourself to rise. Not because my name is Joshua Selman, but because of the office that I occupy by grace. And the prophet looked, and the Bible says, he told her, he said, according to the time of life, this one that you do not have. The Lord led Bishop Oyedepo, and he met Kenneth Copeland and gave him a seed, and he spoke over his life and changed his story forever. Many of you do not value. The balance is no man of God, and as surely as the Lord lives till Jesus comes, you will never hear of a time in ENI by the grace of God Almighty where we have to stand up and say, please, if you don't give to me, I will die. Oh, let God be true and let all men be liars. But God is more than enough. Are you listening to me? Could it be that there are... See, let me tell you something. Friends, I need to tell you something. The first thing the Shunammite woman saw is that she perceived that he was a man of God. See, the man that God has sent over your life, are you listening to me? Whether he's younger than you or older than you, when it comes to his office, he's not your friend. Are you listening to me? Many of you do not know the difference. The woman first. Mike Murdock defines wisdom as the ability to recognize difference. She perceived that he was a man of God. I've met ministers younger than me. I've met ministers less experienced than I am. But when I perceive that there is grace for that time period, I take away every informality, and I know that there is grace that they carry. The reason why many of you have never been blessed is you don't know the difference between... I'm not teaching all this manipulation and servitude, but I will not deceive you. Many of you, the day you begin to see the difference, something will change in your life. Hallelujah. I'm not talking of men of God that, let me do this, please climb upon my head and move. That's witchcraft. Hallelujah. But that any time you are in a place, God sends men who are teaching you and building you in the way of righteousness. You tap by... I tell you, many of you are robbing yourself of glorious opportunities. There are some of you who don't even know our birthdays. I'm not asking you to go and buy a jet for me or do this. Many of you don't know. And you are laughing. Let me tell you the truth. It's lack of wisdom. You won't get blessed that way. Many of you are here. You see people who are laboring day and night. You don't even care. You just look at them. Our birthdays come and pass. There are some of you who don't even know. All you know is our phone number when you have trouble. God, you said we should call you. You won't get blessed that way. Jakes, so they are pursuing me. You see, but let me tell you something. There are ways If you honor the anointing that God has put, many, this is a key. I won't deceive you. I'm not looking for blessings from you. But I must teach you because it's the truth. Hallelujah. Many of you do not ever see the need. That's why many of you like Koinonia. Because you ran away from your churches. You felt they are killing us in this church. I like Koinonia. You don't give money. Just come and sit down and go. But let me tell you something. If we don't give you the balance and provoke you, you will remain poor. And if you remain poor, we are not successful. You will be frustrated. You will be angry. Hallelujah. There are men and women of God in my life that I honor consistently till death. Consistently, without fail, no matter what happens. I'd rather not have food to eat. Because I understand the place, their place in my life. And the benefits and the blessings. And I've enjoyed the things that they carry. And I've tapped into certain graces and wisdom. Hallelujah. We have just one prayer point tonight. You're going to pray for what I call the giving grace. This prayer will break greed from the life of somebody forever and prepare you on a pedestal. Hallelujah. And we'll not end this meeting. I want to give you an opportunity. Everybody, package an offering. I can't teach on prosperity without you raising this. Please package. If you don't have, help your neighbor. It's not about money. I want you to connect into spiritual principles. I beg you, if you have and your neighbor does not have, help him. If you don't have, make contact with somebody. This is not about money. Bring out a sacrificial seed. We are going to pray. I prayed and I cried this afternoon like a baby. I said, Lord, Jesus said, all the people you have given me, none has been lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. Bring out an offering. Some of you will need to make some sacrifices that will help you. Balance view. I made sacrifices that changed my life. I'm still making sacrifices that will change my life forever. I am happy about the word of God and the laws of God. Please rise up on your feet. We're out of time. Outside, rise up on your feet. The Lord is in this place. We're out of time. I want you to pray for 1 minute. I spoke of obedience. I spoke of tithing. You will never be able to tithe consistently until there is grace for you. You can see, let me tell you, it's humanly impossible to give, especially when you are in need. But in the house of God, giving for the work of the kingdom, giving, you will change your life and story. For you cannot do anything against the truth. Friends, if you have been looking for the key out of poverty into a life of prosperity, this is it I gave you tonight. Lift your voice and say, Lord, the giving grace. Make sure you are praying. Open your mouth and pray. Break your pride tonight and pray. Say, Lord, help me. Kapatalabashatai. You have taught me your ways, O God. Giving grace. Grace to be faithful in tithing. Grace to be faithful in tithing. Say, Lord, I make a vow. No matter what it will cost me, I become an ardent tither. God cannot be mocked. Forget about the temporary sufferings. Forget about the temporary inconveniences. Except there is no day and night, God can be trusted. Grace to be a tither. Grace to be a giver. Say, Lord, I break greed from my life. I break the chains of greed. I break the chains of selfishness. I break the chains of selfishness forever, oh God. I stop thinking about myself. I think about how many will be blessed from my life. I think about the welfare of others above myself. How I can be a blessing, a channel of blessing to others, to your house. Pray. Say, Lord, I'm delivered tonight from that self-centered spirit. I, me, and myself, I break free from that self-centered spirit. I move from the realm of welfare and survival into the realm of true prosperity. Lord, that many will say they are blessed. That many will say they went to school because of me. Many families will say their stories were changed because of me. My pride is not just in my well-being alone. My pride is in the testimony of changed lives. Lift your voice and pray. The grace to give, an ardent giver. The grace to give. I rebuke greed. I rebuke self-centeredness. Pray for grace to obey. The giving grace. Grace to obey. Grace to obey. Finally, pray. Say, Lord, help me to recognize favor when it comes. Help me to recognize wisdom. Give me divine ideas, insights, innovation. Bless the works of my hands with passion. Give me the relevant information. Bless me, O God, with the spirit of excellence. The spirit of excellence. Go ahead and pray. Say, Lord, let me be that savior that will come out of my lineage. That savior out of my family. That savior. I pay the price. Pray for grace to pay the price. It will cost you. Let me tell you the truth. It will cost you. It will cost you mockery. It will cost you envy. It will cause you temporal inconvenience. But if the cloud be full of rain, as surely as the God of Israel lives, as surely as the God of Israel lives, you will command fearful results. Pray. Grace. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift up the seed that you have held. Please, if you don't have any seed, hold somebody. Connect. Please lift your hands, everybody. I want to pray for you. I prayed a prayer and I told God, I cried my life out this afternoon. I said, Lord, change the story of people. Make them believe this word and not just be emotional about it. Has no respect for age. Has no respect for geography. I don't care what level you are in. I tell you, if you practice this consistently, you will rise to the top and the nations will see you. God cannot lie. Lift your hands. Father, these seeds are a representation of kingdom-minded citizens who understand the correct blueprint for your prosperity package. My God and my King, there are families here that are struggling. My God and my King, there are people who have inherited all kinds of financial curses. Lord, there are families here that are divorced and is on account of finances. Lord, there are many people here who have been crying and saying, Lord, where is the key? My God, I pray. I give your seed a voice in the name of Jesus. I command it to speak in the spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that God had respect for the offerings of Abel. I pray that this seed you are lifting. For some of you, you are not lifting it out of your convenience. But I pray that for the rest of your life, you will make reference to this night. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray the giving grace Many of you want to do it, but there is no grace. The giving grace. The tithing grace. I release it upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray that that spirit of greed, self-centeredness, let it be broken from your life forever. That your pride will be the testimony of others who have been blessed on account of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that as you begin to practice these kingdom principles, my God and my King, let favor come upon your people. Let wisdom come upon your people. Give them divine ideas, divine insight, concepts, innovations in the name of Jesus. And I pray that God will bless the works of your hands. That God will bless the works of your hands with passion. God will grant you access to the relevant information you need. And that God will grant you the spirit of excellence to lead in whatever field of endeavor. For those who are students, may God cause you to lead. Extraordinary performance by the Spirit of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Cast your offering quickly. I'm just praying tongues for 1 minute. Quickly. Ushers, let's hurry up. Please, we're out of time. Just pray in tongues for 1 minute. I believe someone's life has changed tonight. Lord, I give you thanks. Yes. For some of you, certain keys have been given unto you. In the Lord do we make our boast all day long. There is a revelation that gives you audacity. Look beyond what is happening in your family. Look beyond your present situation. He said, if you know the truth, happy are you if you do them. If you know the truth, happy are you if you do them. And thou shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Just pray tongues quickly. Just thank Him. Say, Lord, thank you. What an honor to hear this truth now. Yes, God cannot lie. Trust what you have heard this night. I tell you, celebrate it. It is truth. It brought men from obscurity to a place of prominence. It brought men from weakness. It gave them a voice in the seat of the great. Thank Him. Because once and for all, you are in a journey out of poverty forever. Out of poverty forever. Out of poverty. Not by impartation, by obedience. Say, Lord, I can now concentrate on my assignment. I can now concentrate on saving my generation. Go ahead and pray. Forever. Forever. Prophesy. Say, I'm on my way out of poverty. It may take a while, but I will not give up. I know the secret. I've found it. I will abide in it. I've found it. I will die believing it. I've found the keys. Out of poverty, I've found the keys forever. I want it to enter your spirit. You have found the keys tonight. I tell you the truth and I lie not. You have found the truth. It may take a while to manifest, but as surely as the heavens are above the earth, your laughter is on the way. As many who believe in this truth tonight, I tell you, you have found your way out. It may not look like it. There will be temporary tears. I won't deceive you, but I tell you, you have found your way. Be diligent. Don't stop. Now, after doing all of this, you can now begin to speak. Like Pastor Chris will say, keep saying it. Only when your obedience is complete. Now, Paul plants, Apollos waters, and my God, the sufficient one, will bring the increase. This ministry will never be poor forever. We have found a secret. No, it's the truth. I tell you, this is what intoxicates me sometimes. When I shout, it's on the strength of this revelation. I'll never be poor forever. No, never. Finance will never limit the work of God in my life. That's why I'm paying the price now. So that when He gives me the command, go to the nations, we will go on in that. Pay the price now. Listen, don't envy anybody who has results. Sit down and create your own history. Stop envying suits and chips. Drop those things. It's children that think about those things. Are you listening to me? You may drink Gary, but practice the word. 1,000 naira, give your tithe. People will say you are an idiot. You don't have common sense. Hold on. They laughed at Sarah. They laughed at Sarah. They laughed at Abraham, but he counted God faithful. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says, I feel like jumping up. The Bible says they are alive to those who find them. You see why some people jump over the word of God? It's not just, they are not pretending. They have seen beyond the now. Lord, we thank you. Yes, I'm happy. Now you can finish 2012. I tell you, now you can finish 2012. Hallelujah. We have one more service next week. We're not going to be doing any teaching next week. We're just going to celebrate the faithfulness of God next week. I'd like you to come. We will rejoice. We will celebrate Him, worship Him, get set. We will enjoy, do our Christmas here and give Him thanks. We'll continue this series in 2013. If you won't be there, I know I'll be there. I know. Hallelujah. Let's listen to the following announcements quickly. If you're worshiping with us for the first time.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, call 081-38-32-5463 or 080-33-50-8735 or 0034-003936. You can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/koinonia. Parenting Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/koinonia_ANI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Parenting Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.